from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, in today for Michael Krasny. Coming up, mobile food trucks and bricks-and-mortar restaurants have had a kind of uneasy truce in San Francisco ever since new regulations went into effect last year. Now both feel the law needs changing. Restaurants feel the trucks have unfair advantages. Truck owners feel vulnerable to neighborhood complaints and challenges to their permits. As popularity for these Meals on Wheels continues to grow, we'll see if there's some middle ground they can all agree to. We'll get started with Forum right after this. Good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, in today for Michael Krasny. Well, mobile food trucks are a popular and hip place to grab a bite to eat these days. Anything from tacos to barbecue, lattes to creme brulee. San Francisco restaurant owners have long complained that food trucks have unfair advantages, like no rent and lower overhead costs. So last year, new city regulations tried to walk a middle ground, hoping to satisfy both food truck operators and restaurant owners. But now both sides say the ordinance needs revision. A working group is meeting with San Francisco Supervisor Scott Wiener, who's trying to broker a compromise. And joining us to talk about the issues on the table, two of the co-chairs of that working group meeting with city officials. Matt Cohen is the founder of Off the Grid, which is a network of mobile catering businesses in San Francisco. Matt, good morning. Good
morning.
And also joining us, the other co-chair, Rob Black. He's executive director of the Golden Gate Restaurant Association, which advocates to promote, extend, and protect the interests of the restaurant industry in the Bay Area. Good morning to you as well.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Rob, let me begin with you. Why do we need a working group? What are you working on?
Well, I think what we wanted to create is an opportunity for balance. There's a really amazing, unique, dynamic culinary scene in San Francisco and the Bay Area. Food trucks are a part of that, but also brick and mortar are a part of that. So what we want to try to create is a place where there's economic security, both from the brick and mortar side so that they understand what the competition is, that it's fair, but also that there's a sense of where we can use and where we can have a healthy mobile food truck community happening, because it really adds to the vibrancy of our scene. So we want to create that economic security for their side as well.
Well, no one has economic security these days. So how do you do that?
Well, I think
what's insecure about the current arrangement?
Well, I think if you just look at the built environment and you create a business plan based on that built environment and you're working perhaps downtown in San Francisco, and all of a sudden the law changes and allows for unlimited number of trucks to operate unlimited number of hours right in front of your business. That's not something that was part of your business plan for the last 20 years, and they're operating on the public right-of-way. Is that a fair way to create competition when you're operating off of public space?
Is that what's happening?
I think that's what's feared. There are certainly a lot of permit applications that have been taken for the downtown area in San Francisco, very dense, both in restaurant and numbers of people downtown on the sidewalks. So part of what also has happened is the law was changed in part to really try to provide better notice to people as well, to brick-and-mortar businesses as well as other businesses in the area. Prior to last year and the law change, it was all administered through the police department. It was very obscure. Each different division of the police department would handle the criteria differently. So if you were a food truck operator, you might have to do one thing differently in North Beach than you would in South of Market.
So it wasn't consistent.
It wasn't consistent.
Transparent.
And it wasn't – that's exactly right. So what the law tried to do is help improve that by creating a notice process. Well, that notice process then allows for a food truck operator to apply for a number of permits in a large number of hours. That's really created a lot of anxiety for folks who are brick and mortar.
Okay, and we'll get into some of those details.
Yeah.
But let me bring Matt Cohen in here. From the food truck operator's perspective, are things – basically okay, and you're coming to the table because, you know, you want to be good citizens and good neighbors? Or are there problems with the current laws and ordinances as you see them as well?
Sure. I think Rob touched on a really important point, which is before this law was enacted, the process was a total black box. So on the food truck entrepreneur side of it, we had no idea. The trucks had no idea when they applied if they'd be guaranteed a spot or what was going on. So this process fundamentally has just opened up the conversation. But I think there's a recognition from everybody involved that the process is very slow right now. It took 6 months, I think, to issue the first permits in this process. It's still, you know, I think more expensive than everyone would like. And I think that there's a lack of certainty about where food truck operators will be able to operate when they apply for a permit that needs to be addressed.
When you say it takes too long, meaning a yes or no answer or just a yes, permit?
So the way that the permit works is they apply for basically a full week worth of locations where they can go.
With a calendar and times and all that?
Exactly. And so if any one of those spots gets appealed, the entire schedule that they've applied for, even the spots that didn't get appealed, they are placed on hold too.
And what does it take to appeal?
Anybody can appeal when they get notice in the mail. So that was a big innovation with the new legislative process. And it started a conversation where people are empowered, if they're going to have a food truck placed in front of them, to actually go to a hearing and request a hearing and say, we sell a similar type of food, or we don't want this truck placed in front of our business. The problem with that is if they apply for a handful of spots and just one gets appealed or one gets requested a hearing, all the other spots are then unable to be worked.
Give us a sense of how big is the food truck business? How many trucks are there and is it growing?
So Off the Grid works with 50 to 60 trucks weekly. But to give you a sense of context to that, when Off the Grid started 18 months ago, we worked with 6 trucks weekly. So the growth is pretty explosive in that way. But it's also, street food by its nature is very artisanal. So they serve very narrowly focused products, which is, I think, something worth talking about too.
And Rob Black, to what extent are restaurants getting into the food truck business? You know, if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing.
It's actually absolutely happening. And that's part of, I think, what's something we really like about this innovation is you're seeing brick and mortar operators having a spinoff that is a food truck, but also you're seeing people who have started off in a mobile food truck establishing brick and mortar. So it is part of an innovation that I think we want to support and celebrate. It's just trying to figure out what's the best way forward to do it that works for everybody.
Let me bring in a couple of other guests now. Also with us in the studio, Ken Cleveland. He's Director of Government and Public Affairs for the Building Owners and Managers Association of San Francisco. They represent the commercial real estate industry. Ken Cleveland, good morning to you.
Good morning, Scott.
And also joining us by phone, Tim Volkema. He's a co-owner of the Casa Indian Eatery and also the Casa Indian Truck. And Tim, am I saying that right? Is it Casa or Kasha?
Casa.
Okay, thanks. And let me ask you, Tim, because you're kind of wearing two hats here. You have a brick-and-mortar restaurant on 18th and Noe, Sanchez,
that's
somewhere
right.
In the Castro. I know I've eaten there. And you've also you also operate that food truck. So what do you see, having been in both situations, about the current ordinance and regulations?
Well, I'm a big fan of having more street food in San Francisco. I think it's something that San Franciscans want. I think it's something that's good long-term for the city. So I'm mixed on where we are now with the legislation because, you know, as Matt said, the process was closed before. So if I wanted to do a food truck in the past, there was no clear path to getting permitted. Now there is a clear path, but I think there's some ambiguities in the legislation that make it, I think the debate is very heated, and so the temperature is high based on some uncertainty that Rob alluded to earlier. So I'm glad there's a working group in place, and I'm glad that we're having conversations like these because ultimately I think we need to move to the other side of this and get the ordinance implemented in a way that is acceptable to both sides.
And did you start the food truck because you saw a great economic opportunity? I mean, what was the incentive for you to start that?
You know, we have the spot in the Castro, and we really want to get our food and product out to more people. And a great way to test different areas is with a food truck. And I think there's certain infrastructure issues specifically downtown that make it difficult for you to serve something that's outside the mainstream. And so we looked at it as a good opportunity to get our product to some markets that we otherwise wouldn't have access to, or they just wouldn't be economically viable for us.
And Ken Cleveland, what's the unique interest of building owners in all this?
Well, most of the brick and mortar restaurants, of course, are tenants in the buildings downtown. So you have a situation, particularly in downtown San Francisco, where if you have a lot of these trucks coming in and scarfing up the lunch business, that's putting a world of hurt on the many small restaurants, sandwich shops, carryout shops, and cafes in the downtown area.
Isn't that
That
capitalism?
Is of concern. That's a concern to us. But we're concerned that the city seems to be favoring one type of small business over another type of small business, and we don't think that's right.
And
there needs to be balance. As Rob said earlier, there needs to be a balanced approach.
And they favor it how?
They favor it by allowing permits to be, you know, an unlimited number of permits to be issued in the downtown area. So we're hoping that with this look at the ordinance that we can put some sort of limits or address that density issue so that we don't have small business mobile food trucks cannibalizing the businesses of the small business brick-and-mortar restaurants and cafes downtown.
Matt Cohen, cannibalizing, that's sort of a strong word.
Yeah, it is. It is a strong word. I mean, I think at the end of the day, everybody's had an experience of going to an office and having access to a number of restaurants that they go to often. And then over time, they have a limited amount of options and they get tired of it. I think the unique thing that mobile food offers is for trucks to come in and, like Tim said, serve an artisanal product 1 or 2 days a week that maybe gets people outside, maybe exposes them to restaurants that they haven't seen or haven't considered going back to in the past. At the end of the day, when a restaurant owner looks outside and they see a line at a truck, I can understand the inclination to say, oh, those are my customers. But the reality is there's a great many people who go to work every day and bring their own lunch or are interested in this type of food product that is a different market. And I think that's where Ken and I differ.
And Rob Black, how do restaurants see that? Is it a zero-sum game? Is it, is the pie expanding and are people eating at trucks who might be bringing their lunches otherwise, or are restaurants really hurting?
Well, I think the more traffic you get in an area, foot traffic, activity, that level of density often is something that a restaurateur likes. But with that said, there are a lot of folks who feel that it is more of a zero-sum game where you've got, you know, there's 100 people going out for lunch today. And if you add 2 or 3 new places, that reduces your ability to pick up some of that crowd. The reality is probably a little bit of a mix of both. But I think what really we need to be thinking about in the ordinance is there's 3 issues that weren't very well articulated. And that's the duration, density, and what we mean by like food and service when we talk about trucks. And the duration in the sense of how many or how long can they stay in one place, how many days a week, how many hours a day, that's not really addressed. What the density is, can you have 5 on a block? Can you have 1? Can you have it? We don't know. And then there's some loose definitions about what like food and service means. Should it be solely based on the ethnicity of the food, or should that look at what type of service? Is it quick service?
And is that because of the competition it provides? In other words, if you have a truck in front of an Indian restaurant that's serving something like Indian food or that might be competing with Indian food, but it isn't exactly that ethnicity.
Carry out is carry out.
I mean, I think it's important to remember the context of the conversation when the legislation was started was it was always the ethnicity of the food type. It was never the service type. And so, like, I understand the inclination to want to say, okay, now it's a service type issue, but the reality is there's a demand for this product. And if you were to say, okay, we're eliminating the service type from the financial district, what you'd basically be saying is the customers can't have access to food trucks in the financial district.
But I'd like to add here that the intent of the legislation when it was passed was to bring food opportunities to underserved areas of the city. Downtown is hardly underserved by a diversity of food opportunities. So downtown needs to have a special look at by this legislation. And when we change it, we need to make some specific recommendations and changes that affect downtown.
And Matt, do you agree with that, that was the original intent, that this is basically to bring food to, you know, a food desert?
No, I think the legislation was a recognition of the high costs of starting a food business in San Francisco and that this type of food service allows for a lot of innovation and interest and a lot of young food entrepreneurs to get started in San Francisco. ago. But the reality is to just sort of – like I am very sensitive to the idea that the financial district has many restaurants and that there should be some attention to that. But the flip side of that is I think to say, well, this service type is not needed at all in a particular area is – I mean it doesn't address the reality of the demand for this product.
We have a lot of other issues downtown. I mean, we have parking issues. We have crowded sidewalks already, so you don't need a crowd of people standing on the sidewalks because they're already crowded. You have issues of delivery to buildings all day long, and so when trucks are parked there, that takes up spaces that delivery trucks could be using. So we have a lot of other issues besides the issue of just competition that affects downtown.
And so, what about are there any legal issues, liability or other?
Yes, there are. As you know, property owners are responsible for all the activities that happen on sidewalks. And right now, the mobile food trucks that park there are not indemnifying the property owner. If somebody gets mugged while they're waiting in line for a burrito, the property owner could be liable for that. We need to be indemnified by the mobile food truck operator, just like the city and county of San Francisco is being indemnified for any kind of
actions
that result from their operating that mobile food truck.
Yeah. Tim Volkema, I wonder, first of all, you've now had little experience in both of these. One of the criticisms or concerns on the food trucks is that they're a lot less expensive to operate. They don't have to abide by the same rules. I mean, you've done both of these. Do you feel that that's a fair wrap on the food truck business?
No, I don't. I think there's a sentiment in the food truck community that we're viewed as these vagabonds sort of roaming around the city and posting up wherever we think we're going to get good business. And that may have happened in the past, but that's in the past. The food trucks of today want to be permitted. We want to be considered small businesses, just like any other small businesses. I operate a restaurant and a food truck. The margins are very similar. Food trucks are required to prepare all their food in a Department of Public Health approved kitchen, so we prepare ours at our brick and mortar restaurant. You have to unload, load up every day, and we're subject to the same minimum wage rules, benefits, taxes, everything else that there's no distinction between my restaurant staff and truck staff. So we're much more similar to a small restaurant than most people understand.
And just if you would walk us through the permit process that you went through and how you'd like it to be different. How long did it take for you to get that food truck permit?
We started out in the beginning of March, and we picked a few spots that we thought were appropriate based on the guidelines of the legislation. So, as a restaurant owner, I'm obviously sensitive to somebody pulling up right in front of my restaurant and selling a competitive product. That's not something I would want to happen to me. So we were careful in picking blocks that didn't have – where we wouldn't be parking right in front of another restaurant. We didn't want to be too close to any other Indian restaurants. So we really focused on spots we thought would make it through the system and also spots, of course, that would work for what we wanted to do and where we wanted to go and who we wanted to serve our food to. So there's a bunch of considerations, but – We picked those spots, we submitted them to the Department of Public Works, and then you have to do a radius map. So within 300 feet, you have to kind of compile all the addresses in the area and submit them to the DPW, and then they give notice. And then within a period, people can complain if they don't want you to be there. And at that point, if anybody complains, it goes to a public hearing at City Hall.
And so what's to stop? I mean, I think if a restaurant owner, say, downtown had its preference, its druthers, they just wouldn't have a food truck around. So what's to stop a restaurant owner, Rob Black, from just saying, we're going to appeal all these. We're going to complain. We're just not – is there better faith than that? Is there a sense that these are not altogether bad and we're going to try to make it work? But it sounds like under the current law, they could do that. They could sort of gum up the works.
Absolutely. And I think that – and there is some of that happening because, again, what you're seeing and again, a lot of what we're talking about is a downtown. And I think there's some unique reasons we're talking about that, and I hope we get to that because it's much harder to get in locations outside of downtown because of prior restrictions. But when in the downtown area you have such a density of these applications, a particular building owner or restaurant owner or business owner may be getting 15, 20 notices about different trucks wanting to open. That creates a lot of anxiety and fear. How many of those are going to be permitted? We have no idea. It's, you know, so that's where they get nervous. And a lot of those permits are asking for all day long. That truck probably only once or two days a week, a few hours that day, but that's not what the permit's asking for. So it's, again, this is where I think we need to really take a look at the current practice and either reform the law or the regulations implementing it so that it's not, doesn't create that anxiety on the brick and mortar side, because then you might help limit the number of appeals that are happening if it's a much more reasonable application process and it doesn't create that level of anxiety for the current business owners.
That's Rob Black from the Golden Gate Restaurant Association. He's with us this hour along with Matt Cohen from Off the Grid. Tim Volkema is joining us by phone. He's the co-owner of the Casa Indian Eatery and the Casa Indian Truck, and also Ken Cleveland, Director of Government and Public Affairs with the Building Owners and Managers Association of San Francisco. And Ken, you wanted to say something.
I couldn't agree more with Rob. I think we could relieve some of the pressure off of the mobile food trucks, you know, permitting requests for downtown if we were to allow more of them throughout the city. Right now, we have such restrictions on where mobile food trucks can be located. They can't be located near hospitals. They can't be located near universities or schools. You can have a pot club closer to a school than you can have a mobile food truck operating.
And why
that's
is that?
Crazy.
What was the thinking behind that?
Well, I don't know.
Rob,
I think it's Alice
know?
In Wonderland zoning.
I think it was a legacy of the previous law, that it was a battle that the city didn't want to fight, and so they left it in the existing legislation. But the practical result of that is that for the reality is that the mission is essentially closed off because of the school restriction, because of the distance from schools.
And what is the thinking behind that?
It was something that I think 2007, 2008, there was an ordinance passed. And frankly, I think it was an old way of thinking about mobile food trucks. I mean, they were thinking about roach trucks.
Exactly.
Roach coaches.
Yeah, roach coaches. And frankly,
potato
in San Francisco, we have haute cuisine. You know, we've got the bacon truck. We've got creme brulee. We've got these beautiful artisan culinary experiences that people can have. And frankly, even if it's not the artisan experience, it's going to be a heck of a lot more healthy than what they're getting at the school lunch.
Fish and chips and
stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, so I think it's an antiquated way of thinking about what a mobile food truck can provide to the neighborhood. And so I do think it's something we really do need to reexamine.
And Matt Cohen, do the food truck operators agree that they'd like to have more territory, like to remove some of those restrictions?
I mean, I think that the way that the law is constructed right now, there is definitely an emphasis on applying for downtown because there's so much territory that's
so
closed off.
Funneling everybody down there.
Yeah. And I like just to piggyback on what Rob said about the notice part, I think that on the food truck operator side, if they know that they're going to get appealed, the inclination for them when they apply is to apply for the greatest breadth possible so that they can then say, oh, well, we just want to be here 2 days, and there can be some negotiation with that. So I agree. And I think Tim would probably agree, too, that there's a better process there.
All right. Food trucks, regulating them, how to regulate them, what kind of changes are needed. That's our topic for the rest of this hour. And I suspect a lot of you would like to join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you about your favorite food trucks, your favorite brick-and-mortar restaurant downtown. And if you're a restaurant owner, of course, we want to hear from you, too. The phone number to call, 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. You can also email it, forum@kqed.org. I'm Scott Schaefer, sitting in this morning for Michael Krasny. Stay with us. And welcome back to Forum. Scott Schaefer here today for Michael Krasny. This hour, we're talking about food trucks in San Francisco and, by extension, the Bay Area as well. Regulating them, is it working? Is it not working? And a working group that is trying to revise the legislation. Joining us, the co-chairs of that working group, Matt Cohen, founder of Off the Grid, and Rob Black, executive director of the Golden Gate Restaurant Association. Also with us, Tim Volkema. He's co-owner of the Casa Indian Eatery and the Casa Indian Food Truck. And with us also in the studio, Ken Cleveland from the Building Owners and Managers Association of San Francisco, BOMA. The number to call again if you want to join us, 866-733-6786. And let's go to Chuck, who's calling, oddly enough, from Syracuse, New York. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
I own a food truck in Syracuse.
Okay.
The way the city handles it here is very simple. The city has gone around, well, the city, they have designated locations where food trucks and food cart operators can operate. They have a raffle every year. It's $1,500. You can pick out two or three locations. The raffle goes off. Say your number comes up one. You get your first location. They continue to go through the raffle until such time as you get a location. Some of them are by the camp by Syracuse University. Some of them are downtown. Some of them are a little further outside of town. Some are better than others. But it works. We've been doing it this way forever. There's nothing wrong with it. No one complains about it. Everyone respects everyone's spot. It's a very simple way to do it.
Well, that raises a good question. Thanks for the call, Chuck. Other cities, Portland, Seattle, Oakland, San Jose, perhaps, also have food trucks. Are there sort of best practices that your working group is looking at, Rob? And what can you learn from other cities, whether it's Syracuse, New York, or Portland, Oregon?
Well, I think there's a lot to learn from other jurisdictions, and I don't think that San Francisco really took a lot of time when we passed our new ordinance last year to look at those best practices, and we're seeing some of the problems come out of that. So I think that is what we would like to do as part of our working group and working with Matt and the building owners to really say, you know, what are the best solutions that create, again, an economic if you apply for a permit and it's a legal place for you to have a truck, why do you have to go through all of that insecurity of the permit process and all of those sort of things if we can make that more secure and easier and less costly? On the flip side, if you're a restaurant and we want to say, you know, you shouldn't be able to park right in front of a restaurant, that should just be part of the rules, and it's not now. And so it becomes part of the assessment process, but it doesn't create a sense of security for everybody. So I think we can look at some best practices, like the gentleman from Syracuse just said, that allow for security and economic – you know, that's what I meant by economic security – know what the rules of the game are. If you play by the rules, you can operate.
You like certainty.
Exactly.
Matt Cohen, what would you like to see adapted here in San Francisco that's working other places?
Well, I mean, I think it's important to recognize how forward-thinking this legislation was, to recognize that – because at the end of the day, street food manifests itself in different ways in different cities. So if you look in New York, it's primarily a cart culture. If you look at Portland, it's primarily fixed trailers that are in parking lots. If you look down in L.A., it's a lot of trucks that are moving around, and there's no real permits for them operating in a particular place at a particular time. I think what San Francisco did was say, we want to encourage this kind of business, and then we're going to see what happens from it. And so what we're dealing with right now is the ramifications of that and saying, okay, well, what can work best for us now? But the reality is, I think I would agree with both Ken and with Rob that it's a lack of certainty that's really important for everybody involved. If a restaurant is on a street and they can say, okay, that I have a reasonable idea of where a truck might be able to park on this street, it's going to be a lot better for everybody involved.
And Ken Cleveland, I mean, parking downtown during the middle of the day, yikes.
It's already a bear to find parking, and so that's definitely a problem that has to be solved. We have to address the downtown parking situation, the downtown deliveries, and we need to come up with a way to balance the number of the density, if you will, of mobile food trucks in the downtown area.
So
this working group, I hope, we'll come up with some solid solutions to spread the mobile food trucks throughout the city and not just have them concentrated in downtown.
And so right now the trucks are primarily parking in yellow zones, loading zones?
They're parking wherever they can get parking.
So they don't get a designated spot.
They get, like everybody else, they're circling. But there's a range. And
yeah.
They park where they can find parking.
And Matt, how big a problem is that for the truck operators? Or is it a different problem?
I mean, again, it goes back to this idea of uncertainty. Like, I think it's important to recognize when a truck arrives and sells from 10:30 to 2:30, their day is starting at 6:30 in the morning. So they're prepping and they're loading up their truck and they're driving into town and then they look for parking. And there's no guarantee that a spot will be available. They might circle for half an hour, an hour and a half. And that service window is very small, especially in downtown San Francisco. And so they might lose their entire lunch service just looking for a parking spot. That's a big problem.
Hmm. All right, back to the phones. Lauren in Oakland. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
My name's Lauren Smith. I'm a co-owner of Docks of the Bay, which is a food truck based out of Oakland. We went through the San Francisco permitting process beginning last March as well. We all camped out outside of Civic Center for 3 nights. And then we went to the Board of Appeals in December. And after, when it was all said and done, we walked away with 3 permit spots, one of which is in the financial district and 2 in the Mission. And now the legislation for Oakland is going to take effect on January 20th, and we're hoping that the city of Oakland can learn from San Francisco's errors and or oversights. So it'll be interesting to see. In Oakland, there was just legislation passed regarding pod permits, which differs in that it's not based on individual trucks. It would just be group pods in particular areas. And there are a lot of details to hammer out, but we're hoping that we'll have an opportunity in Oakland to be part of pods and that it will go a bit more smoothly than it has.
You said pods. What is it? What is pod? First of all, you said pod. Pot trucks.
Pod
what is pods?
Pods are multiple trucks, like the type that Matt organizes through Off the Grid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. And Rob, to what extent are, Bay Area, this is sort of a regional issue, really. It's not just a San Francisco issue to a certain extent. I mean, the regulations affect San Francisco, but as we hear from Lauren, there are businesses throughout the Bay Area that would like to sell their food here.
Absolutely. And I've had calls from the San Bruno Chamber of Commerce, from the Oakland Chamber of Commerce. There are a lot of jurisdictions in the area that are struggling with what would be the best practice? What's the best way to, again, provide for something that I think customers want, that sort of innovation and choice, while you're not upsetting kind of a standard business practices and long-standing small businesses in your community. So it's, again, how do you balance that in a way that creates the entrepreneurial opportunities without undermining your existing infrastructure?
Let's read some email here. Kenny in San Francisco writes, I don't understand why this is even a debate. Business conditions morph over time, and at any given time, they are what they are. If businesses don't adapt and consequently go out of business, so be it. That's the way it works in an entrepreneurial economy. Rob Black, I wonder, you represent, and Ken Cleveland for that matter, you represent traditional businesses in a sense, and you're often advocating on their behalf against regulation, against too much government interference, and for free enterprise and all that. And yet here you are kind of on the other side of that coin. And I just wonder does the irony strike you at all?
Actually, no. I mean, this is Rob from the Golden Gate Restaurant Association. CASA is a member of the Golden Gate Restaurant Association. We have other members who have food trucks or have brick and mortar or have both. So part of what we want to do is create that culinary scene that is different and innovative here in San Francisco. But what we also want to do is there was a mention from the email you read around it is what it is, it's business, it's competition. It is until the government provides access to a public right of way in a different way than for other people. And then there's a difference of how that plays out. In Portland, it is more of it's based primarily around private lots where people can set up and set up their trucks. They're not primarily operating in the public right of way. So there are different models that people have chosen. So if we're going to use this model because of, we have a very dense built out environment where we allow access through public right of way, I think we have to make sure that the regulations balance that treatment.
Level playing.
Yeah. So it makes it more complicated, which is something that often is in San Francisco.
Matt?
I think it's important also to recognize that restaurants are not without amenities and values that they can use to attract customers, right? The experience of actually sitting down in a restaurant, the experience of having a restroom, the experience of not being exposed to weather. There is a quarter of the year here in San Francisco or more where people just don't want to go outside, and that significantly affects mobile food businesses. And so I think there are amenities that restaurants can offer, and if they lean into those amenities, I think they'll find that they can work very well with mobile food vendors.
To what extent would you say, and maybe this is a question for Rob, any of you, are restaurants adapting to this sort of challenge from the food trucks? Are they changing anything about what they do or how they do it? Rob Black?
Well, I think what you're seeing more is the food trucks are an adaptation to the business environment of San Francisco. Rents are expensive. We have very expensive healthcare costs, very expensive personnel
labor
costs. Minimum wage is the highest in the country. You have a lot of these sort of things that make running a restaurant very, very expensive, the most expensive in the country. So you're seeing restaurants move towards more of a quick service model where you go to the counter. And that's where I think you're also seeing the spinoff of where – how can we have an entrepreneurial opportunity that's economically viable in a very expensive place? And so that's part of where what we're seeing as a manifestation is this yeah. mobile food facility.
Okay. Matt, quick comment, then we'll go back to the phone.
I think it's also important to recognize that there's a deep pool of talent, of culinary talent in San Francisco that's looking for an outlet
Absolutely.
That can't necessarily afford a restaurant. And so the idea of this narrowly focused artisanal product is really attractive to them, and it's also really attractive to customers as well.
All right, back to the phones, and back in Oakland, Scott is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Scott Cameron. I'm from Oakland, and I think I provide sort of a middle ground with a business that I've opened called Guest Chef. It's a restaurant where if you're an aspiring restaurateur, perhaps a food truck person who wants to take the next step, you can apply on my website, and for 2 weeks it's your restaurant. You come, the kitchen is fully equipped. We provide a hostess and a cashier and a dishwasher, and all you need to do is bring the groceries. You cook whatever thing you cook, and we take a percentage of the food cost. So if you don't do well, you don't pay a lot. If you do well, you pay a little more.
And Matt Cohen, I know you're affiliated, I think you are, with La Cocina in the Mission, which is kind of a incubator, is it not, for young food entrepreneurs?
Yeah, our Fort Mason Center event that we run on Friday nights is done in conjunction with La Cocina, and they do an exceptional job of transitioning people from informal food businesses to formal food businesses. They also run the Street Food Festival in the summer, which is, I think, probably one of the better festivals in the city anywhere.
All right, Scott, thanks for the call. 866-733-6786 is the number if you want to join us. 866-733-6786. Some more email here. Jason in Dublin writes, I used to work in Soma, and I would have welcomed more food trucks in the area. You get bored with the food choices you have, and commonly many restaurants are mediocre. If restaurants are scared, they have a simple solution: make better, more interesting food. Ken Cleveland from Boma, that area of downtown, when we're talking about downtown, I mean, Soma is a little more spread out, you know, that
right.
Second First Street down that way, near the what will be the Transbay Terminal area. Is that a problem as well, or is it more the really inner downtown corridor, like around Embarcadero Center?
Well, I think the core, of course, is the greatest problem. But Soma is also a growing area with a lot of new businesses moving into brick-and-mortar businesses moving into Soma. And, of course, we want to be sure that we don't create too much of a competitive situation where you have one set of small businesses who are rolling in, fighting the existing brick-and-mortar or the newly established brick-and-mortar restaurants. I mean, you got to remember that the downtown part of San Francisco is the economic engine of our city. And we don't want to pour water into that gasoline tank of the downtown by having too many mobile food trucks taking away the business yeah. that is the lifeblood of many of the small restaurants and sandwich shops and carryout shops in downtown.
I think the vast majority of the businesses that are in downtown are intellectual service-based businesses. And so really what you have to ask is what's going to be most appealing to them as well. And I think a lot of people would say choice, and especially choice provided at value. And so I think, you know, to look in Soma and say, well, those are long blocks, and those blocks can accommodate a number of food choices, and especially food choices that aren't there daily, but they're there a couple of days a week. I think that that's a powerful thing for new businesses to want to locate near.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Absalom, am I pronouncing your name right? You're next. Well, I think you may be under arrest. Or, let's go to Steve in San Jose. Steve, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. I'm concerned about the like foods clause because there are so many different kinds of, for example, Indian food, and maybe the cop at City Hall who's reviewing it will just see the word Indian, think it's like, and not let it in, where there's like chaat and, you know, the sweets, and then like the fancier food that you get at the sit-down restaurants that is more common.
Matt, you're sort of nodding. I'm not sure what the point is.
Right now, the city is in the business of arbitrating what is a similar food to another food.
I think
anybody who has had Indian food and has had North Indian food and South Indian food knows that there's an extreme difference between those two things, or that an Indian burrito is something very different than, say, a Mexican burrito. And so I would agree that I don't necessarily want the city in the business of making that decision about what is a like food or not a like food.
Yeah, Rob Black.
Yeah, I think, again, I mentioned earlier there's three things that, from our perspective, really need to be clarified within the ordinance. That's the duration of in a place, the density, and the definition of like. I think if you get two out of those three right, then you can be softer on the other and move away from it a bit. But you have to get two out of three. If you only get one out or you don't get any, then you have a problem and you have this insecurity that's taking place now.
Yeah. Steve, thanks for the call. You know, San Francisco, as you all well know, can be a very contentious place. It can be a place that some feel is anti-business. It can be a tough place to do business, but it can be a nasty political environment. What's the tenor of these discussions of the working group? I would think that there'd be a lot of support at the board generally for food trucks, but how are the discussions going? Rob?
I have to say and thank Supervisor Weiner for really stepping in and taking on a leadership role here. And if anybody who knows Supervisor Weiner, he's one of the most level-headed, calm guys you could be around. So that helps the tenor of the conversation to be productive and move forward. So I think in that sense, it's been very, very productive. And frankly, Matt and I are working, I think, very well together. We have a good relationship. And in the end, I think want to see the same thing. And so it's finding that place that works across for both brick and mortar and the mobile side, because in the end, it's about our customers and about creating a place in the Bay Area that is a culinary destination. And people want good food here, and we want to give them that. So it's just figuring out the best way to provide that.
Tim Volkemeyer, you've been patiently on the phone there. What about your thoughts on that, the tenor and the kind of progress you're making in the working group?
I agree. I think I'm glad Scott Weiner took another look at it. He's the supervisor of the district that I'm in, and I'm a big fan. So I think he's great to work with. I'm glad that it's moving forward because I do believe San Francisco needs more street food. Even some place like the Financial District, where there is a lot of food, there are structural reasons that the food is pretty homogenous. At the high end, not so much, because you have a high ticket per person. But at the lower, affordable end, to do the volume you need to do, you know, mainstream categories, pizza, burger, salad. There's nothing wrong with those things, but it'll pay off for the city of San Francisco long term to have its central business district be very attractive to workers and people that need a lot of affordable options because they eat out 5 days a week. So I'm really happy to see it move forward, and that's really one of the reasons we looked at the Financial District, is because we felt like San Francisco is one of the best food cities in the world, but there's this district where it makes it hard to have the breadth and deliciousness of affordable options that the rest of the city enjoys.
All right, back to the phones now. Julie in San Francisco, welcome. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have a food cart, and I have passed all the permitting requirements through the city of San Francisco. I sell printed out doubles, which is a new food to the area of San Francisco. And my private property location is probably not going to be available to us anymore, so now we have to go the public property route. So I was just looking for some advice from your panel this morning.
In looking for a location? Or how do you go about deciding?
Right, exactly. And where I should go and
And tell us a little bit more, what is it that you sell?
Of Trinidad, the country of Trinidad in the Caribbean.
Uh-huh.
And it's a curried chickpeas that's served inside of a bread with a mango chutney and a fresh habanero pepper sauce.
Wow. Okay. Matt Cohen, any suggestions?
I mean,
other than let's order a few.
Exactly. Do you deliver? I think what I would suggest more than any other thing, there's two things. I think if you go to the DPW website, the actual guidelines of the law are there. But I think what's not said there and would serve you well is to actually go out, and if you're considering applying for a particular location, to go and walk those blocks and introduce yourself to all the businesses that are on that block, because they're going to be getting notice that you're coming and that you want to be there. Introduce yourself to them, show them your menu, let them know what your interest is and that you're not interested in competing with those restaurants. And if they're receptive to you, then that's a good reason for you to move forward through the process.
How likely is that? I mean, your restaurants pretty much, hey, come on in, the water's good.
I mean, so Off the Grid has applied for, I think we have 3 permits, and there was back and forth, but for a number of our permits, a lot of people were very welcoming of having trucks in the immediate area, just as long as it was a reasonable distance away, and we let them know that we were not going to be competing with their restaurant in particular. So I think people are very reasonable with this if you approach them in the right way and you don't surprise them with you have no choice, you have no power in this decision that a truck is going to be located near you.
And Julie, where was your truck?
We were going to be located off of Townsend between 3rd and 2nd Street at a private property location. And we're just not sure if the area will be available to us. So we just want to, you know, since we're already permitted, we have everything we need. We want to get out there and start selling this food because it's so delicious. And we really want, you know, the people of San Francisco to be able to experience Trinidad doubles.
Well, Ken Boma, I keep calling you that, Ken Cleveland. It's a nice name, Boma. To what extent can this be resolved or at least partially addressed by you know, using some of the vacant property? I mean, there is a fair amount of that, not in the downtown corridor, but, you know, SoMa has some and there is some space.
I would certainly support that as opposed to using the public right-of-way. Absolutely. If there's private property that's vacant that could be allowed to be used for mobile food trucks, yes, absolutely. I want to get back to what Rob said, though. I think if we're going to have a resolution, we do need to address the issue of density, particularly in downtown. We do need to address the issue of duration, and we do need to address the issue of like foods. You know, what is, and it's not just
that seems
type
like the
of
tough
food,
one in some ways.
It is the type of service that we're talking about, and so that's got to come to the table and be resolved in some way.
And who? I mean, this is DPW, right? I mean, so who is the culinary expert at DPW that's deciding among these different trucks and whether or not they're like a particular food that a restaurant is or a service that a restaurant's providing?
Ultimately, Rob? it's going to be, I guess it's Mohammed Nuru because it goes
the
all
director.
The way to the head of the director.
Correct.
But, you know, it's the hearing officers at DPW, and it's frankly, it's not their expertise. And this legislation has put the city and frankly, the Department of Public Works in a very difficult spot, making very challenging decisions without a lot of guidance and no extra staff and no extra resources. So again, I think our goal would be to find a process that provides a clear path that's much more sure. You know where you can be. You know what's appropriate. If you apply for it and you've got all your I's dotted and T's crossed, you're allowed to start operating. And you know what the rules are in advance. And I think taking some of the ambiguity out is really what I think we all want to do, recognizing that this is something that is valuable to the city, but also that there are better places for it than others.
All right. Let's try another call here. Avram in San Rafael. Welcome. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm a resident of the Bay Area that split my time between here and Los Angeles, and I was struck by the transformation that food trucks rendered to downtown Los Angeles, and really that they ultimately became brick-and-mortar institutions that a lot of food truck owners and operators went on to be able to establish brick-and-mortar restaurants, that the foot traffic that they generated and that the kind of the synergy of having a bunch of food trucks down there paired with, you know, open sidewalk art festivals and similarly have created a condition where businesses are fully revitalized, that there's a kind of renaissance happening in downtown Los Angeles that I think is largely resultant of the ingenuity and the kind of flexibility given to those operators there.
Although we have to say downtown L.A. and downtown San Francisco are two very different places with different kinds of needs. But Matt Cohen, to what extent are you seeing food truck owners who want to eventually open up their own brick and mortar restaurant, either in addition to the food truck or instead of?
I think a high percentage of the truck owners that we work with are considering either a second truck or moving into a brick and mortar location to service their existing truck. On the other end, we're seeing a number of existing restaurants that say, oh, well, we can add a catering truck. It can serve our catering business, and we can send it out one or two days a week and serve food to the, on the street as well. So I think there's a strong back and forth with it, but I think that the really artisanal nature of the food is something that allows for something different to be expressed, and that creates a market that didn't exist before, and that results in brick-and-mortar restaurants, really creative food, pop-ups, those types of things.
All right, Avram, thanks very much for the call. Just a few seconds left. Ken Cleveland, the group is meeting tomorrow, correct?
Correct.
So how many more meetings are there before we have some kind of a consensus, do you think, or legislation for the board to consider?
Hard to say, but I'd certainly like to see the resolution to this problem as quickly as possible. Again, it's balance. We got to bring balance into the mobile food truck issue, balance on the number of trucks in downtown so that we don't harm the existing businesses that have been there for many years, paying taxes, employing people, and providing food to the downtown community.
All right. That's Ken Cleveland, Director of Government and Public Affairs for the Building Owners and Managers Association of San Francisco, BOMA. Thanks so much to you for being here. He is part of that working group, along with our other guests, Tim Volkema, co-owner of Casa Indian Eatery, also Rob Black from the Golden Gate Restaurant Association, and Matt Cohen from Off the Grid. Guys, thank you all very much.
Thank you,
Scott. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Forum is produced by Kevin Guillory, Judy Campbell, and Amy Machado. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. And our executive producer is Rob Ramirez. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny. Thanks for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Farrow, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.